I'm David.
And I'm Matt.
And you're listening to the Mastering Mondays podcast. Welcome to the Mastering Mondays podcast, brought to you by No More Bad Mondays. Today, we're excited to have Andrew McFadden with us. Now, Andrew is the FE Skills Senior Consultant at JISC. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
For our listeners who may not be familiar, could you just start off by explaining what JISC is and the work that you do?
That's a big question to start off with. JISC is a big beast that, let's encapsulate it. It supports colleges, universities with lots of digital work, I suppose. For instance, people might know about EduRoam and Janet Networks and cybersecurity, but we've also got lots of other moving parts around digital support. My particular job is to support colleges and training providers with three specific digital tools. The Discovery tool, which allows individuals, learners and staff to improve and work on their digital skills. Then we have the Digital Elevation tool, which would allow a college to think about their digital transformation and digital maturity and assess that right across the board and develop it, maybe in partnership with a digital strategy. And also Digital Experience Insight surveys, which allow you to find out more about the digital experience of your people through an annual survey.
So just picking up on the Discovery tool that you mentioned there, could you give us a deeper insight into what that particular tool does and how it benefits staff and students?
Yeah, absolutely. It's again, maybe being slightly biased here, it's a great tool in allowing an individual to reflect on how they feel about their ability, but also their confidence in using different digital tools, I suppose, or different digital skills. So there are a number of different question sets either a learner or a colleague can take, ranging from overall digital capabilities through to AI, of course, because we have to nowadays. And once you answer a handful of questions, it might take about 10 minutes, you would get a personalized report, which will show you roughly where you are, where you've said you are on those areas of digital skills, which might be digital communication, digital learning, digital teaching, digital well-being, those types of things. And then from that report, you launch into a huge resource bank of open resources that would hopefully start that journey of digital development. But of course, lots of colleges and universities build their own systems of support to help.
Is that kind of platform agnostic, that tool, in terms of, you know, whether someone might come in on a student basis from a Microsoft background or a Google background?
It is, although the tool does link really heavily to Microsoft and Google resources. So for admin staff within a college, they would be able to see all of the Microsoft attached resources, because we realize there's a big push now in colleges in particular, moving maybe away from bespoke virtual learning environments towards Microsoft Teams and SharePoint as their place to go. So yeah, we do rely heavily on Microsoft resources, Google resources, to support development.
So does the questions and sort of the material they can then access, is it kind of individual to an organization? Do you tailor that in any way? Or is sort of like, you know, it's a one-trick pony and sort of everyone sees the same thing and does the same thing?
A great question. Everyone sees the same thing, because what we have attached to the tool is the ability to see the benchmarking, so you can see how you are against the sector, which can be really useful in working out what you might need to work on or progress towards, or how much better you're doing than everybody else within the sector. So the questions are set. It's how you use the tool. That's where you get that personalization, because there are lots of different ways you can bend the tool to the will of the college.
So I've read a number of case studies on your JISC website, those, you know, using the digital capabilities framework that you have there. And the impact looks really impressive. I mean, I'm seeing organizations like the University of Central Lancashire, and I'm seeing Weston College, and some real success stories. Could you share more about these, or perhaps some of the other success stories? Has the Discovery tool and the framework that you're talking about there truly kind of like driven digital transformation in these organizations from your perspective?
I'm just going to step slightly outside of the FE sector for a second, but the Open University have been using this tool for a little while now. They built on the framework that we share with our members, and they've created a really good one. I know DN College's group, Phil Whitehead, has produced a really good one as well, with a very embedded system of development, so you can go through different levels of digital development there. The Middlesbrough College case study on the website's fantastic too. One of our biggest users of the tool is South Gloucestershire and Stroud College. They've been doing some amazing work on staff to begin with, now focusing on students, but they're also going to build the discovery tool into a new DIT qualification, which essentially is a teacher training qualification. So they're really looking at pushing digital through that teacher training piece. So people who are starting the journey, or maybe even more established teachers, are thinking about digital within their lives more importantly than maybe they might have done a little while back. So yeah, some huge impact around the sector.
Are you having that success, I guess, from you kind of going out there and reaching out to these colleges, or are you seeing that you've kind of, you know, you've sort of got in with a number of colleges, and that's kind of, or universities even, and that sort of spread the word, and they're now coming to you to use your framework?
It's a little bit of both, to be honest, Matt. So, for instance, Zoe Tierney at Burton and South Derbyshire College, a brilliant example. She's done some superb work last academic year, I suppose, with her staff. And just from something on LinkedIn, you can see that that's sort of got other people thinking about, oh, well, maybe I'll do that. And then we get some requests from that. So it's a bit of both. We go out and we try and do different events. We try and speak to the community as much as we can to show the benefits of the tool, because it's part of their membership. So there's no extra outlay for them. It's a tool they've got access to as and when they want to, as long as they're just members, of course. So there's it feels like a bit of a no-brainer. So we do that, but also the greatest advocates are those who are using it, and they're also the best messengers across the community, because they'll show you how they're doing it within their college, and then someone else will see, well, hold on, I can do that just as easily too.
Now, of course, the whole point in using these kind of tools is to try and close that digital skills gap that I think JISC has highlighted. And that people view could hold back the UK in terms of progress. Now, we've seen similar challenges in our own work, but also that with proper training, you can have quite a quick and significant impact on organisations and individuals. From your perspective, where do you see this gap, and what steps can be taken to address it?
I think there's the biggest gap, and from my own experience working in the college and supporting digital development, I think the biggest gap is in confidence as much as anything else. I think that's the first thing to think about with a large cohort of people that you want to do something some maybe are fearful of. It's trying to build that confidence first. The easy answer, I suppose, currently is AI, because people are obviously sort of going crazy about AI at the moment. So there probably is a gap, but that's for all of us, because we're still trying to work out what it is and how it's going to support. So I would suggest confidence is the first thing to think about.
I think we come back to AI definitely, and one of the side shoots of AI is the impact of automation. Now, looking more at the way that colleges and universities function rather than the learners, it was notable that Goldman Sachs report last year predicted that 49% of business processes will be automated within 5 years. That would have a huge impact on the way that colleges and universities operate, particularly with their sort of complex administrative systems. Do you think that education providers are actively addressing this change in terms of automating their processes, and are they in conversation with JISC about that? Or do you feel that many are still too caught up in day-to-day operations to tackle it head on?
I think it's probably a little bit patchwork currently, David. Yeah, I think there are some people who are very digitally developed already and are moving towards that path. I know the likes of Bolton College, I think it was, have developed a while back a really great chatbot for learners to use, things like that. So yeah, there are some very productive and advanced colleges there. But college life is difficult. It's really a challenging environment to be in. So you can totally understand that many of them are still working on that day to day. Let's get the people in the doors first. Let's get the basics of teaching and learning and assessment done. We'll think about that when we get the chance. And then, of course, Ofsted come along and you've got 6 months gone because you're focused on that. And then what we were thinking about 6 months ago. So it's a challenge. Yeah.
And you may have actually just kind of answered what I was going to talk about next. And I was just going to touch on like automation. So I've recently worked with auditors through a college that's being audited at the moment. And I kind of took a moment and I thought, oh, there's room here to create an automation that will kind of speed up that whole process where, you know, an auditor comes back to you and they're asking you a load of questions. They want a load of answers. And you usually get that through some sort of Excel spreadsheet or Word document. So I created an automation where it gathers all that information and splits the individual learner that they're requesting information from into a task on Microsoft Planner and then assigns the correct member of staff that needs to then have a look at it. So I, in theory, then didn't have to do anything in terms of looking at that feedback and requesting individuals to, you know, gather evidence for me. Obviously, some of the deeper or the, you know, the harder stuff to answer, I did. But I'm just wondering if you're seeing colleges do similar sort of automations, or maybe not similar automations, but automations that do help with that efficiency and help with that kind of, you know, time, because time is precious. And as we're saying about colleges and universities and even schools, they have very little time. So having these sort of automations like that, where it speeds up something for you, obviously is a brilliant thing. And as we're saying here, have they even got the time to look at that? Or is it a case of like, they'd love to have that, but no one's got the time to have a look at it because they're too busy kind of dealing with the day to day?
I think there'll be certain sections within the sector who will be looking at that now. I don't know how much it's happening, but I think, as probably we all know, data within colleges, again, can be quite messy with lots of different data sources. And, you know, we've got to provide information for this, this, and this. So I think that will be the next big thing for colleges to make life easier. And I do know there's Chris Sumner up in South Lancashire College has been doing some superb work on data and data management. And he, I know he's created some great systems that have kind of been used across the Scottish college sector, I suppose, as almost a template. So I think as more colleges get the chance, maybe when Ofsted have done the cycle at the moment and people can calm down a little bit, I do think that would be one of the next big things for the sector is how do we automate data in particular.
One of the things that worries me slightly is that the very kind of specific niche systems that are used in the quite sort of static FE sector are driven by a few companies. And clearly this isn't a particularly lucrative area for software development. And I do worry that the sector might be held back by the resources that those particular companies are putting into their software. You know, the creation of the APIs that might allow for automations, that, you know, those kind of things that, you know, some of them are just beginning to think of delivering, you know, their products as software as a service. You know, they're that far behind. So that does concern me. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think the sector is really great at sharing ideas too. So I think once some colleges get some really good ideas of how maybe colleges are fantastic punks in that original sense of do it yourself. I see that day in, day out. Exceptionally innovative. There's lots of organisations can learn a lot from college staff. So I think once somebody gets an idea that really works, that can spread around and that might democratise some of those issues. But yes, I think we probably are still beholden to some of the bigger organizations.
And I guess the you know, the JISC newsgroups, which are very, very heavily used by the sector, you know, could be the key point in terms of information sharing in that respect.
Our communities of practice as well are really, really great. The sector is absolutely sort of committed to supporting each other. And if we can help facilitate that and somehow just bringing people together. But I see it outside of that too. It is a great sector to be in, and yeah, hopefully GISC can help further.
I've recently started working for an organization that is invested in the Google ecosystem, having formerly come from Microsoft. And I was surprised at how limited the tools are compared to Microsoft, especially, you know, integration features such as Copilot and business process tools and automations, etc. Now, for financially constrained organizations, where you're not just going to go out and buy a handful of licenses for a different product, could the choice between Google and Microsoft become a critical decision? You know, do you find many larger FE institutions using Google, or do they tend to be more invested in the Microsoft ecosystem?
Funnily enough, we've just launched the Digital Experience Insight Survey's feedback for FE learners from last year. So we produce a national report on the statistics we get. And one of them asks about virtual learning environments, et cetera. And those who have talked about Microsoft Teams has shot up by, you know, double-digit percent this year. I hear far more people talk about Microsoft within colleges than Google.
That's quite interesting. I mean, you know, that I'm still reserving judgment because it's early days for me. But certainly in terms of the tools that are available, they just don't seem to be really to the same depth, certainly from a business perspective, at least. I was listening to Mo Gordat from Google X, or formerly from Google X. And he's an author. He's written several books. He's all over the place. And he believes that AI could eliminate almost all intelligence-based jobs within 5 years, leaving really the artisan jobs really for the future. For example, an artist who's designing logos using Adobe may be replaced by AI, or will be, probably is already now. But a sculptor, you know, working in a different kind of media will likely remain untouched. Now, Matt and I have debated this topic. What's your view on AI's potential impact on the workforce?
I think we have to remember what system we live in, and we do live in a system that is looking for profit and looking for cost-effective solutions. But we're humans and we still enjoy human interaction. So I think some things will become automated and we will rely on AI. And people will do this themselves in organizations. So, you know, if somebody needs to create a logo or what have you, they might just go and use the tools to do it themselves. But there's still that, like me in maths, there is still a fear with people in digital. So I don't think it's going to take over completely. And that human touch, I think, is still going to be essential. You know, we're social animals and we will need that. So I think there'll be a shift in the sands, like when the internet broke out all those years ago, and you get those people who launch off and use it for almost everything, and the rest sort of have to play catch up. There'll be a similar thing here. But I think things will settle, and we'll find hopefully that good mix, because that human touch for me is still really important.
And I guess the idea of best practice and the best way to use those tools still remains. And so in terms of what GISC is doing, it remains the same, albeit slightly different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tend to agree, but just for kind of argument's sake, really, do you think we're kind of in denial about this a little bit? Because, you know, obviously we've got GISC offer with digital skills and trying to kind of better everyone's skills. We offer, you know, a similar sort of service ourselves with No More Bad Mondays. Are we really needed in the future when AI could, you know, it can create automations now? It can do all these things. And yes, you kind of need someone behind the wheel prompting it. But maybe that will even change at some point. So what kind of, are we in denial, or are we right in thinking, yeah, this will kind of balance out somehow?
It's a great question, and I don't suppose we really know the answers. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next sort of 20 years. If an almost real human can be created to do the jobs of lots of other humans, organizations will go for that because it's saving them money, of course they will. Whether the customer, the person at their end, feels the same kind of connection and wants to use that, I'm not 100% sure. And this, I sometimes think about contact centers and how they moved all over the place, and now organizations sometimes bring them back. If the customer doesn't really want that approach, they'll end up dictating not all of it, but quite a lot of it. And I think we will still need those, and we might develop almost humans, I suppose. But until then, the human to be able to see the sort of visual cues, think about the verbal ones too, will still have a vital role to play, I hope.
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about call centers, because that's often mentioned, but of course, there are studies that say that even with the kind of bot type call center activities, if you look at the response, the customer response to those on a functional basis, the ones that are run by bots get higher ratings than the ones that are run by people, because of course, you know, the bots are extraordinarily consistent and very, very knowledgeable. So now when you see, you know, I think that I heard something with a Google, I think the Google AI, Gemini or whatever, having a kind of natural language discussion with somebody, which was, you know, extraordinary. You know, the response rates are as close to human as you can imagine. The voice is very, very similar. So I reserve judgment on that. I think that if it's possible for if the conversation is knowledge based, then I see no reason why it wouldn't very soon supplant, you know, the human in that context. We wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, the knowledge based ones, I probably would agree there. The second we add some emotion into it, and we want our emotions to be considered too, might change things, but who knows? Yeah.
So if you could offer one key piece of advice to a business or an education provider regarding Microsoft tools or Google tools, what would it be? Perhaps something tied to the discovery tool or another resource that could make a real difference.
Build resilience and confidence first, and allow people some agency in the work that they're doing so that they can see the importance and the relevance of what we're doing. Whenever we have calls with colleges, we will talk about trying to involve people so that they get the chance to give a suggestion and be part of that process rather than it happening to them. And then from that, I think once you've got the people hopefully with the right mindset, you can unleash all sorts of technical advancements.
In your time at Jess, could you share a favourite project that you've worked on, or a favourite organisation even, or project you've done for that organisation? What was the request? What was the end result? And why does it stand out for you?
Well, that's a great question. There's been quite a few, to be honest. I'm going to go back to South Gloucestershire and Stroud College, because I think when they started to launch the discovery tool with staff, they couldn't do it on a CPD day, which would make life a lot easier. So they launched it, had a very consistent message and approach. So Monday afternoons, 4 to 5, coming online and complete the question set. We're here to support you. And then after that, they would provide a bespoke learning pathway to that individual of what happens next, which is a great idea. And I was invited to come and speak at that first event as well, just to sort of explain what things were. And that then launched them into being the biggest users of the tool in the United Kingdom. So because they were really putting the people before the technology, I thought it worked really well, despite the challenge of not being able to do it in one go and have to do it over many weeks. I think Jake and Lee, they've done some superb work.
So before we wrap up, we'd love to know, what's your favourite Microsoft application? Is it something straightforward like Planner, Teams or Loop, or maybe something more advanced like Power Apps or Power BI? What do you personally love using?
Sort of love using and love maybe slightly different. With my colleagues, obviously Teams is really great, just because we all work virtually, I suppose. So my nearest colleagues, as in who I work with, are in Kent and I'm in Newcastle or Plymouth, and I do have one quite close by, or Liverpool. So Teams is a great place to keep up and to have that, what somebody called office patter, which I think is really important. For my work, it would be Excel and Power BI. That data is so important. Just to me and my colleague Louise are embarking on a big data project at the moment to share good practice with the community and try and incentivize that really good behavior, show and spotlight the great bits of work. And we really need that data that we can get from Excel and Power BI for that.
We were talking to Tony Kerr from the Philippines, Power BI expert and MVP last week. And we were chatting about Power BI actually and about the changes to it. And you know, the fact that you don't need to learn DAX anymore. You know, you can just get those functions written for you. It kind of changes the tool entirely, doesn't it? No, it becomes a tool for the business rather than a tool for the analyst.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And the stories you can tell from that data, again, going back to maybe the human element, it's bringing people along with those stories. Yeah, it is a great tool.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Andrew. It's been really incredibly insightful hearing about your work and your perspective on digital transformation. I think it's worth mentioning that, you know, I'm assuming that anyone from the FE sector can go onto your JISC website and can look at there's a video there about the discovery tool and some of the other stuff that you offer. And I think it's worth mentioning as well that on our website, our Know More About Mondays website, there is some free automations there that could be really useful for FE. So the one I talked about there with the auditors earlier, that will be there for free next week as well. So, feel free to share that around with people, and we will certainly share around the JISC website with the FE colleges that we work with as well. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here on this episode of Mastering Mondays.
Thank you very much. Nice to speak to you both.